Welcome to Innovate 608, the podcast that shines a light on Wisconsin's entrepreneurial ecosystem. I'm Scott Mosley, Executive Director of Starting Block, Madison's startup hub. In this episode, my co-host Kathleen Gallagher talks with Jake Polistrini, the Managing Director of Generator's CS Nest program. Innovate 608 is made possible by the generous support of the American Family Institute for Corporate and Social Impact and our media partner, the Wisconsin State Journal. Now, here's Kathleen.
Hi, I'm Kathleen Gallagher, Executive Director of Five Lakes Institute, host of the Midwest Moxie podcast that features our region's successful founders, and a co-host of Innovate 608. Exciting new technologies, whether it's ChatGPT or quantum or the next wave of cloud computing, impact every business and drive a big share of our productivity advances and economic growth. And computer engineers have a hand in all of this. CS Nest is set up to harness that. A free venture creation program housed at UW-Madison's School of Computer, Data, and Information Sciences. It operates the largest computer science program in the state. CS Nest helps entrepreneurially minded students and recent alumni create high growth startups. We're here today with Jake Polistrini, Generator's Managing Director, who runs the CS Nest Venture Creation Program. Jake, welcome to Innovate 608.
Thanks, Kathleen. Super excited. Thanks for having me.
Happy to do so. Tell us, let's just get started with, what is CS Nest?
Yeah, so CS Nest is a venture creation program designed for UW-Madison students specifically. It is in conjunction with the computer science department, and we kind of started with a focus on computer science and data science students specifically, but over the years, it's really expanded to all of campus. So I work with students of all majors, disciplines, ages, years, what have you. So it's open to everyone on campus.
Sounds like an awesome program. Let's find out who's running it. You studied mechanical engineering at UW-Madison, and you went to work in the energy industry. How did you go from that career path to realizing you shouldn't do your own startup to running CS Nest?
Yeah, oof. I'll try to keep it short here, but I suppose, so I kind of went down a more traditional career path, so to speak, out of college, studied mechanical engineering, worked in chemical engineering, energy, sales, some consulting work, and ultimately a little bit more of the business lens a little later in my career.
So you were nerdy. Kinda.
I think I'm still a nerd. So kind of all along that time, though, I was always noodling with ideas and brainstorming things and coming up with things. My dad's been a part of startups and entrepreneur throughout his career, so I was always kind of in it or around it. And ultimately, I was living in Minnesota at the time, and I attended the Twin Cities Startup Week. And there was two things that really stood out to me. I was talking to startups there and hearing some pitches, and two things that they had that I realized that I did not have at the time, which is why I had kind of been unsuccessful in getting past the ideation phase myself, was these startups had a singular focus and a team. Two things that might seem obvious to someone in the space, but to me, you know, kind of more of the traditional larger company background, I didn't really know what to look for. And so for me, I realized this was kind of a turning point for me. I was like, I'm interested in so many things. At this point, I'm unwilling to pick one because it means I can't work on the other 10.
Oh, that's interesting, because I was thinking you probably could pick one if you wanted to.
I could pick one if I wanted to. And that was kind of the thing, is I realized I just couldn't decide. I didn't know what I wanted. And my mind's in different industries and different things all the time. And so I thought, I'm not willing to pick right now. I don't have a team of people ready to jump and do this and quit jobs and do this with me right now. And I looked around and I remembered thinking, like, the event had been run by a startup accelerator in Minnesota. And I was like, I want to do that. I want to do what they're doing here and be the support squad and be able to work with different people and different ideas and different technologies. And that will keep me engaged. And I'll still have a hand in, you know, quote, kind of being on a team in a little bit in some small way, working with these people. So that was the motivation for me.
You had the technical background that that made it reasonable to work with a variety of startups doing technical things, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think, I mean, from the engineering lens, from the more technical lens, yes, but not from a software standpoint. So I don't have experience. I don't have background in computer science or computer engineering, but, you know, kind of taking the themes of problem solving and being comfortable with new technologies. Yes, absolutely.
Bet you're learning a lot about computer science and computer engineering now.
I learn new things every day.
So you start every September trying to recruit students to participate in the CSNS program. How do you find the students?
Yeah, so the big recruiting push is in September at the beginning of the year. We also do a little smaller one in January for the second semester of the school year. But the main way we find students, or the main way I find them, is really a lot of word of mouth. Students that have taken it in the past, recommending to friends or bringing friends to do it with them maybe a second time. I also do an email campaign where I'll walk around campus, look for, you know, who's won competitions in other schools, maybe some research paper, or kind of do a little bit of investigative work.
When you say other schools, you mean all schools on the UW-Madison campus,
yes,
right?
Yes, correct. The other schools on campus at UW-Madison.
Like the business school, the engineering school, et cetera.
Yes, yes, yeah. Business, yeah. Engineering. I'll also do I'll email the computer science and data science students directly with, you know, like a little flyer of the program. But again, like, it's open to everyone on campus. I can't talk to everyone. I can't meet with everyone. But my hope is that it continues to spread across the other schools.
So one of the big things I think a lot of alumni remember is hanging out in the unions. Do you go hang out in the unions and find people?
I do, yes, but it's more of a planned outing rather than me just sitting there and hoping and waiting for students to walk up to me. I usually, like, I'll send out an email to a certain number of students or group or something, and I'll be like, yep, I'm here. I'll have a sign. Some people will just book 20 minutes with me and they'll just know that I'm there. So I do, but it's a little more planned.
So you start in September with around 80 students. How many finish?
Yeah, so we start with around 80 signups. Typically I see about 40% of those maybe just kind of drop off before the first event. You know, it's the start of the semester. There's cool new things going on. People just want to throw their name in every hat. And goals change within the first couple of weeks before we kick off the program. So there's a certain chunk that, kind of just drop off that I may not even really engage with that much. But aside from that, over the course of the semester, you know, midterms come up, students get part-time jobs, priorities change, people move, like, I've kind of seen it all. And by the end of the semester, there's usually a core group of about 25 students that are left and that are engaged. And this is usually split over about 10 to 15 teams. And by team, I mean, some of them are solo founders. Some of them might have two, three, or even four people. So the sizes of the companies and the teams vary.
Can you read it in the beginning? Can you tell who's going to drop and who's not?
No, I mean, I wish there was a magic wand. I think if anything, there might be the few that really stand out that just come with that extra passion and that extra motivation that I know are going to do it. They're going to finish it. Like, they're going to build something. And even if they're failing a bunch along the way, like, they're just motivated people to finish it. So there's usually a few of those that I could call. But aside from that, you never know. Like, people come in with a great idea and then midterms hit and their priorities change.
Yeah. You do a lot of individual coaching. You also hold a group session on Friday afternoons. What do the students learn during this 11 weeks of the first semester doing it?
Yeah. So the Friday session is when we get together as a group. It's a lot of fun. There's kind of some core lessons that I instruct, coach on, kind of bring to the table for us to talk about. So a few of those examples would be minimum viable product. So for a lot of students, they haven't heard of an MVP before. And for those listening, it's really just a super basic prototype. So we'll talk about how to get from ideation to a basic prototype. The Lean Canvas, which is essentially a one-page document, super simple, kind of overview of 9 key categories for your business, just as a starting point. So kind of think of it as like the basic prototype of your business model. And then we kind of go from there. We'll usually do an intellectual property session with Wharf. maybe talk about a little legal 101 with the Law and Entrepreneurship Clinic.
Let me just say WARF is the tech transfer arm of UW-Madison, Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And let's see. Well, the one other main one, so it's kind of ad hoc. Things will change depending on the goals of the students and where they're at in the semester. But the last main one that we always focus on is how to pitch. So this is typically seen with later stage startups and like how to pitch investors to raise money. Now, no one in the CSNS program is ready to raise money quite yet. But I coach them more. It's about how to effectively communicate your startup, how to effectively communicate an idea you're working on in just a few succinct minutes or even in seconds in some cases. So just how to clearly describe what you're working on to somebody that has no idea what you're about to tell them, so that you can have a productive conversation and get some feedback.
Wish that had been around when I was in college. So CSNS is a partnership between, we just said, WARF, the tech transfer people, the UW computer science stuff, and Generator, and that's your employer, Generator. Generator's grown considerably since it started in 2012. Tell us about the benefits that having Generator involved brings to the program.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I'll just start. I mean, so UW-Madison brings the talent. I think of it as they bring the talent. They supply the medium, the format, the space for us to do this. And WARF, as I kind of mentioned before, brings the intellectual property, the patenting expertise, and just a bunch of support for the program. And then Generator's space in this, the way that they fit in, is really bringing years of startup knowledge and experience and expertise. So Generator's been around 11 years now, and the company has worked with thousands upon thousands of startups and pitches and founders and venture capitalists and angel investors and you name it. So there's just really this core library now of content that has been curated over years, over, you know, the founding partners of Generator and past employees. And so I have that to pull from, a library of knowledge, as well as connections and introductions that I can help make for the students.
And the connections, you know, I know they're not ready for it yet, but you guys have a lot of venture capital connections. I think really understand what investors are looking for when the students get to that point, right?
Yeah, and a lot of it starts with the ability to pitch and to communicate, which is a core focus of this program. Again, you know, like I mentioned this to them, that this will be used primarily for fundraising when you get to that point, but that's why we practice it now in the low stakes environment, so that when you get to that point, you know the process, you know the steps, you know what, you know, VCs are looking for, how big your market is, things like that.
Whenever I talk to startups, a lot of times when I talk to startups, the most common thing they want is technical talent, especially people who understand computer science stuff. You've actually gotten a lot of computer science types coming in and saying they want to be paired with a non-technical founder, right?
Yes and no. I think in my mind, some of them are consciously aware of it, but some of them are not, meaning the conversations we'll have early on, you know, around their own skills and interests. There's usually an opportunity for them to partner with a non-technical, so to speak, founder within the CSNS program, from finance, from the business school. So that usually comes out fairly quickly. And yes, of course, there's the ones that come in, the technical founders that come in and just know off the bat, like, I need help with marketing, I need help with sales. That's not my forte. I don't want it to be. So it kind of happens both ways. And then, of course, absolutely the other way around. Non-technical founders coming in, you know, like, I need someone to build my app. I want someone to build my prototype. So that's pretty common too.
CSNS culminates in a contest that offers $10,000 worth of prizes in the spring of every year, right? Tell us about that and tell us about the winner this past spring.
Yeah, so this is the most fun part of the CSNS program. So every April, we have a $10,000 pitch competition. So $10,000 split over four awards, with the top prize being $5,000. And it starts with around 30 signups. So there'll be about 30 startup teams on campus that sign up, go through the first round of pitching. And then from there, we weed it down to 12 finalists. So the 12 finalists pitch live to a panel of a few judges. all across the day. It's kind of like, I call it like American Idol or, you know, pick your game show these days, a bunch of people coming into audition all day long. It's a lot of fun. It's open to the students. They like to sit and watch their peers pitch and compete. So that's a lot of fun. And then the winner this year, is Crib, founded by Isaac and Vinesh, who are both super great, super smart, super fun to work with. I met them at the beginning of last school year, so around September time. And when I met them, they were about to put their app on the App Store, on the Apple App Store. So they were kind of at a point where they had a prototype and they were ready to get it to make it live. Let's fast forward to, let's say, March, about March timeframe. When they finally got it up, they finally launched it, and immediately we're getting traction, immediately getting people to sign up and pay them. And just a real quick blurb about what they do. So the company is called Crib, and it's essentially a marketplace for subleasing. For example, if I'm in a 12-month lease and I have to move 6 months into it and I can't break my lease, oh crap, what do I do? Most people right now turn to Facebook Marketplace, and there just hasn't been a really popular single source platform for this service yet. So the flip side is, maybe I'm moving to Madison for just the summer and I want to sublease a place. How can I find one that's, you know, maybe not a campus housing because I'm not a student? So this would be a platform for that. They launched it in Madison, immediately got traction. I think by the time of the competition in April, they were pulling in a few thousand dollars monthly recurring revenue. Operation costs very, very low. So it was really cool to see that. And then they've been getting a lot of traction in New York and I believe San Francisco, somewhere on the West Coast since then. So they won the $5,000 in the CSNS competition. They also won first place in the UW Transcend pitch competition as well, which is another campus-wide competition that happens every April. And so they won $15,000 there. And now they are both in New York right now. They graduated in the spring semester, and they're both in New York right now pursuing this full time as they were getting the most traction there. And so they moved out there.
Aren't you supposed to make them sign a contract to stay here?
I wish. I mean, as long as they're getting to Madison too, I think it's on the docket. Madison, New York, and California, I believe.
Well, and what a great role model for all the other students in the CSNS program, right?
Super cool to see.
I'm Kathleen Gallagher, one of the show's co-hosts, and we're talking with Jake Palestrini, Generator's Managing Director, who runs the CSNest Venture Creation Program, a partnership between UW Computer Science, Wharf, and Generator that helps entrepreneurially minded students and recent alumni learn to create high-growth startups. We've been talking about how the CSNest program works. Now we're going to hear about how it helps aspiring founders build their startups. Jake, you're meeting aspiring founders at the earliest stages. Some of their startups work and some don't. Give us a sense of what it's like. How messy does this get?
Messy? Yeah, maybe. Lots of fun, definitely. At this point, people are really trying to get a sense for what they want to do. I would say, so like a true startup accelerator, working with later stage startups, perhaps raising their first round or maybe slightly after that time, are helping startups move from point B to point C or from point B to point F. Really in this program with the CSNS, this venture creation format, is we're just trying to figure out what A is. We're just trying to figure out where to start. So people come in with interest. They come in with a little bit of an idea or a kernel of an idea. Sometimes people have no idea, and maybe they just want to join a team or they want to ideate with me and we come up with something. So that can be a little bit messy, I suppose. I think it's the fun part, like really brainstorming, pen to paper, whiteboarding, you know, group sessions, talking about what motivates you or what problems you see in the world. And really, again, so like this program, it's we're from zero to one here. And really my goal in working with the students and with these aspiring founders is, can we get past the ideation phase and just build a prototype, build a minimum viable product? Can we just create something that you can put out into the world to then start to get some feedback and then go from there?
Be honest, It has to get emotional. Like, has anyone ever come at you? Or they must get mad when you tell them, well, that's not going to work.
You know, I think there are times when it does get a little bit emotional. I wouldn't say for this reason necessarily. I think I never tell them an idea is not going to work. Like, that's not up to me. That's up to the market. That's up to timing. That's up to what people are willing to pay for. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But I think maybe sometimes they do get a little emotional when they see, you know, an article in the news of a company, of a founder doing exactly what they wanted to do. And they're like, oh no, I missed the boat. I should just throw in the towel. I quit. I'm done. I'm going to go get a job. And that's it. And there's so many reasons why that company in the news could fail. Just like there's so many reasons, you know, you as the student, your company could fail. Let's not throw in the towel. Like, let's give it a shot. Let's at least go and do it. And maybe you do it differently. Maybe you do it better. Maybe you target a little bit different market. So we'll have those conversations around how you can still play in the game without just copying what's out there or, you know, slightly changing your idea a bit.
You've worked with more than 100 UW-Madison aspiring founders and startups since you began running CS Nest. The lessons learned that you must carry around in your head, I bet you've had founders who started with really bad ideas.
Yeah, again, I mean, to me, there's no good, there's no bad. It's up to the customer, the market, the timing, and everything else. However, I do think that ideas and people can be bad for each other. An example could be, say, someone works in finance for 20 years, and then they want to quit and start a high-tech startup, but they don't know anything about software development. Like, that could be a bad match. Sure, you could find a team, you could hire a team, right? Like, you could maybe make it work, and it's going to be tough, but I would argue it's probably not perhaps the best use of your talents. An example of this in the program, of kind of a bad match between an idea and a founder is Nikolai. I met last year, beginning of the year, and he came in with an idea basically to motivate students and young people to be more involved with politics and with voting, and just to kind of build awareness and interest. And about a week or two later, we met again. He comes in and he's like, nope, I'm done. I'm not doing it. I'm gonna totally change my idea to this other thing in music. And I think that was, I mean, this was a great example of, and it happened in a short amount of time, which is what you want to see too. This is ideal, where he just realized this wasn't his passion. This wasn't his obsession. It was something he cared about. But ultimately, this other business in music, which I'll talk about in a bit, is the way that he went. And that's where his passions really lie. And it's great. And he's been seeing a lot of success.
Well, tell us about it now. What was it? What kind of music thing was it?
Yeah, sure. So the company is called Stuniverse. And he met his co-founder in the CS Nest program as well, Taku-san. So the two of them, super smart, go-getters. And essentially, Stuniverse is, I think of it as Airbnb for music studios. So think like an Airbnb rents out a room in its house for people to sleep in overnight. On this platform, someone with an at-home professional recording studio can rent it out to someone that can rent it for a couple of hours. And they saw an opportunity here, especially in UW, where students and young people around Madison just didn't have access to good recording, especially in this day and age of like YouTube and content creating at home, people that kind of want to take that next step but can't afford to do so. So they saw an opportunity there. And the first semester, working with Nikolai, it was really about the idea and starting to solidify and who the customer might be. And then he launched it in like February, March. And it was a Friday. We talked about it in the group session. He comes back to me the next Friday and he says, I've got 8 signups. I've already got 8 signups.
Wow.
In just 7 days. So immediately started making some money and had some users there that he paired up with a local studio. They made some recordings. Him and Taku-san have been going since. And then the two of them actually ended up winning prize money in both the CSNS competition and the Transcend UW competition in April as well.
I'm thinking, you know, after we get finished with this conversation, we should talk to Matt, our producer, about being an advisor for Nikolai, don't you think?
I think that sounds great. Matt, are you on board?
He's smiling. He kind of waved his hand. But that's part of what you're bringing to them too, is all these connections and, you know, the bigger world that they're about to enter when they graduate, right?
Yeah.
You must also encounter founders who are locked onto one area. You know, they're searching for ideas. They want to stay in one space. What do you do with that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I like to see that obsession on a certain technology or a certain vertical, even if we don't exactly know what the outcome is going to be yet. One that comes to mind is Ethan. Ethan and his co-founder, Danny, I worked with last year. And they came in and they were super gung-ho about making toilet paper out of hemp, is where it started. And basically, we spent the first semester prototyping. They met with local farmers and professionals in the hemp industry and trying to understand how they could make these toilet papers specifically, or just kind of learning about CPG products.
I mean, we're in Wisconsin, right? There's a lot of toilet paper here.
Oh, toilet paper, but then also hemp. Like Wisconsin and Minnesota are both great for growing it. And so there's a lot of farmers around here too. And so fast forward to spring semester, the toilet paper idea didn't exactly work out. And they've been exploring alternatives. So currently they've got a prototype for a bowl. So like a disposable bowl. So think like reusable eating utensils, plates, bowls, knives, forks, that sort of thing. So how to replace less sustainable traditional paper products or plastic products with more sustainable hemp-based products. And whatever they end up doing or wherever they end up going with the product side of it, like I'm confident they're going to stay in the hemp space and they're going to make something great.
I mean, this makes your job sound fun too.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah. Every day is fun.
I'm beginning to understand, though, why you call it a venture creation program. Do you have students who are repeats in CSNS?
Yep, love to see it. I'll give an example of one, but the first thing is, let me think. So some of them will come back with a new idea every time they'll do the program. So there's one guy that comes to mind that has gone through the program a few times. And each time he comes with a new idea and gets a little bit further, which is really cool. So I don't remember exactly, but something along the lines of the first time he built an MVP, second time new company comes in, launched the MVP and got a couple of users. And then the third time launched the MVP, got some users and made some money. So like, that's kind of the core of this program is it's not necessarily about, you know, building a $1 billion company in a year or in 5 years, or like, yeah, that's awesome and that's great. But it's more about learning the steps and learning the repeatability in some of these things that come in the space of entrepreneurship and startups, and to get a little bit further and more confident every time.
Practice makes perfect, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there is some kind of similarities to the beginnings of these things. And then the example that came to mind for kind of the flip side of this is someone who's done it multiple times with the same idea is Katie with Freight, FR8. And she's gone through this program a few times, as well as another program or two on campus at UW as well. And basically the mission that she's driving for is how to divert textile waste from landfills, textile waste specifically clothes. So like clothes that people would typically throw out or donate, how to make sure they don't end up in landfills.
Oh, I want to know her.
Yeah, she's great. And she's got such high energy and passion for this. Excellent presenter. She's great with the pitch. It's amazing. She ended up, so she was kind of, her and her team were stuck in limbo. They didn't know exactly how they were going to launch this or what their aim was, or it just felt all too big. And so we really level set this past school year and honed in on starting with the MVP of picking up clothes from people's houses and getting them to local designers to repurpose these clothes and put them back into the economy as refurbished products that maybe have a little flair to them. So yeah. That's the starting point, and then with much more to come. But by making this a little bit more digestible, they were able to get that going, get a website up. And they got their first customer in the spring semester as well, which is a huge milestone. And I'm so happy for them. And a lot of people don't make that first dollar. So it's really cool.
You know, all of this sounds fun. But tell me, Jake, What really motivates you? What makes you want to keep doing this and going through this kind of it's not working and let's figure out a new way to make it work over and over again?
What do I like about it? I love it. Exactly what you just said, how you just put it. The resourcefulness and the teamwork and the brainstorming that comes with trying to find new solutions to perhaps new or old problems. But what keeps me motivated is there's so many defined paths in life, particularly from a career standpoint. And I started my career down a perhaps more defined career path. And what I've come to realize is entrepreneurs and startups are quite literally redefining reality and working to build a better world, a better community, a better life for themselves. And they're just the most motivating people to be around. And I love it. The drive and the creativity, it keeps me motivated every day. And then, you know, some of the hurdles I had in perhaps starting a company of my own was I was unaware of resources and the roadmap, so to speak. And a lot of this stuff, while starting a startup is absolutely 100% not guaranteed, it's incredibly difficult. But over the years, a lot of the trials and failures and successes have been documented by both Generator, where I work, but then also just the industry at large. And so being able to be a small piece of guiding early stage entrepreneurs on the path to, number one, deciding if this is a lifestyle they want, but then number two, how to be successful in it. That 0 to 1 is really where I thrive, and the ideation and the brainstorming and working with new ideas every day. I'm always learning. That's my obsession.
Well, I think you've got all of us motivated too now about what's going to come out of the CS Nest program. Thank you so much for joining us and for sharing the excitement of what you're doing in that program.
Anytime. Thank you so much for having me, Kathleen.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Starting Blocks Innovate 608. You can hear more episodes about Wisconsin's entrepreneurial ecosystem on the Starting Block website at startingblockmadison.org or on your favorite podcast platform.